listener production.
One of the mysteries of the closed regulations that have closed down most of Victoria and indeed most of Australia has always been the ability of people to play golf. Now, I've got some self-interest here. I enjoy the game. I like to play it. I'm a local club member. I live within the required distance of my golf club to play, but it's been shut down, even though my friends who operate in New South Wales and live there have been able, up until very recently, been able to play golf unhindered. Now, the regulations in New South Wales now are that you can only go within your own local government area, and if you go outside that local government area, you're only able to go 5 kilometres, and that'll become 10 kilometres eventually. So many of them have not been able to play at their home clubs, but always golf has been ongoing. Not so in Victoria, which has seemed ridiculous. Mark Allen is a former professional golfer. He also hosts The Twilight Zone with David Schwartz on Radio 3AW. I've spoken to him on the program before, particularly about his battle, his very serious battle with cancer. He's on the line. It's never made any sense, has it, Mark?
It has made no sense whatsoever, Steve. I remember at the height when golf was first switched off, a lot of people were walking around golf courses without a golf club, without a golf ball, so much so at the Northcote public nine-hole golf course. The people who ran that thought, well, we might as well open up the pro shop and start doing coffees as well. So you had a situation where they were giving coffees, toasted sandwiches, whatever else you could buy from the tuck shop at the golf course, and there were more, like probably 5 times as many people walking around that Northcote Golf Club with no golf clubs in their hands, and that was deemed okay. So we've been scratching our head for a long time.
So 70% double vaccination, that'll probably kick in, we're told. 70% single vaccination will kick in. 80% single vaccination will kick in. I'll get it right in a minute. On Sunday, September 26th, which will mean golf courses will reopen, we hope. James Sutherland is the boss of Golf Australia, their CEO. He joins us on the line as well. Just saying to Mark, James, it hasn't made a lot of sense having golf shut in Victoria. Why were there different rules here than there were in every other state of the country?
That's a great question, Steve, and good morning to you. Look, I think we've seen throughout the last 18 months or so, we've seen inconsistencies in all sorts of different areas, and golf's just one of them. I think, you know, in recent times, perhaps the only city in the world where you haven't been able to play golf has been Melbourne, which is really quite extraordinary.
Mark, the mental health impact, I mean, you know, everyone, when you start talking about golf, for some strange reason, they think it's a sport played by privileged white blokes who join golf clubs and pay a large amount of money. Well, that's absolute rubbish, because there are golf club courses all over Victoria, all over Australia, where people play on a regular basis. But for older Australians, men and women, the mental impact of not being able to go out for a walk with your mates with a golf club has been massive.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, it's their third place, their happy place for so many people, Steve. And you've got that exactly right. And don't worry about that. You know, the golf industry. I'm a 30-year member of the Australian PGA, joined in 1990, and I'm seeing my friends right through the industry crushed when it is you know, it's been proven in other states it's very, very safe to do. There's not one reported transmission of COVID anywhere in this country. I think you'd find it hard anywhere in the world. And yet people who, you know, work in the pro shop, the people giving lessons, the people, you know, the single mums who are waitresses inside, all those sort of people have been absolutely torched where they could have been given something, just a little something, so another industry isn't destroyed through this breakdown.
James, it's an outside sport where you can play without having any physical contact with the person you're playing with. It is out in the open air where there's been no transmission of COVID. We've allowed sports, professional sports like rugby league and AFL, and we love watching those sports, but they're contact sports and they can go ahead, but you can't walk around with a stick and a white ball.
Yeah, look, that's the case that we've been arguing for a long time. I mean, I can't think of a more naturally socially distanced sport than golf. And I mean, I don't know what people think happens on the golf course, but I know that you don't get close to anyone on a golf course. It's just not really possible. So
Particularly when you play like I do.
and what's happened, you know, over the course of the last, it's really 18 months in Melbourne. We've been in and out of lockdowns that have prevented us from playing. The last one's a couple of months since we were able to play. Hopefully we are on the way out. But to your point about members, I mean, members are only not even 20% of the total number of people that play golf around the country. And, you know, public courses, let's not forget, you know, driving ranges and mini golf and other places like that, which again are outdoors and naturally socially distanced, where people can get their exercise. And as Mark says, it's their happy place, and it's not just the physical health, it's also the mental health that comes with being able to get away from things.
And Mark, every golfer's been prepared to go, okay, well, I accept the clubhouse is not going to be open. I can't go and sit down and have that barbecued snag and three cold beers after I finish playing. I've got to go to the course, go to the first tee, play my 18 holes and go home again. Now, any golfer who likes playing, because that's their sport, was happy to and willing to accept that, were they not?
Yeah, absolutely. Gives a toasted sandwich maybe at half time. You know, it's all those little bits and pieces that keep the industry going and get all these people who work in the golf industry going. You don't have to torch every single thing in Melbourne. If it is safe to get up and going, we've all been scratching our heads why you would torch another industry when it's been safe, proven safe.
James, what's your understanding?
Steve, the other thing with that is that our golf clubs and the staff that work there, including the PGA professionals, have done a remarkable job in setting up a safe environment. You know, they understand the things that need to be in place to create a COVID-safe environment. They've done it over and over again. In and out of lockdowns, and they've demonstrated that it will be, all of the precautions are in there to keep people naturally distant.
The other thing everyone's got to understand, both of you, is who perhaps don't understand golf as well as we do, that throughout this whole 18 months, James and Mark, golf courses have had to be maintained. You've still got to mow them, you've got to fertilise them, you've got to water them, you've got to make sure the greens, because if you let these places go, they're gone for good.
Absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head there, and I get a little update from my golf club every single, and what they're trying to do, how they're trying to do it with limited budgets, even for, you know, one of the better courses in the country, has its you know, real challenges. All these things need to be taken into place. Look, we're very, very happy that hopefully next week we're back and playing golf in some case. But, gee, the damage that it must have done to some of the smaller courses where James is talking about 80% of most golfers play, the damage to those little places and you know, maybe the rising fees for the pensioners now. Who knows what's going to happen so that they can continue? I mean, they're going to, you know, there's going to be some scars there.
James, what's your understanding of what can happen come Sunday?
We're waiting for further advice, but we're very optimistic that things are on track for things to open up. Obviously, it will be a safe environment and as far as possible contactless, and there'll be provisions around similar to picnics, dare I say, where groups of people will be able to play golf, but they need to be from two households, not four households. And so smaller groups will be encouraged. But frankly speaking, Steve, we've been through all of that before. There's a little bit of extra administration and regulation for clubs and professionals to manage, unfortunately. But I think that's probably a small price to pay in the scheme of things. At least we're back out on course.
Just finally, have you addressed the issue of vaccination? Will you need to prove that you are doubly vaccinated to play?
I think, as I understand it, different clubs are taking a different approach to it. Certainly, it's come up as a conversation point in recent times, more along the lines of if that is a route to us returning back to play golf more quickly, then it's something that should be explored. And I think different clubs are taking a different approach to it. And I think, as I can understand, at least so far, in most cases, it's been warmly received by members.
Good on you, James. Thank you very much for your help today.
Pleasure, Steve. Thanks, bye.
James Sutherland, CEO of Golf Australia. Mark Allen, hopefully you can go out and have a hit on Sunday.
Yeah, even just walking around, just having a little putt, even just hitting a few balls would be great. And I can promise you this, James Sutherland has been doing a magnificent job through this. He wouldn't say it, but no doubt he's been banging his head against the brick wall.
Yeah, and like all of us have been banging our heads against the brick wall for a very long time, Mark. Thanks, mate. Good luck. Talk soon.
Pleasure.
Mark Allen there.
Listener.